Welcome to Why Don't We Dress for Dinner Anymore with hosts, senior style icon and sultry slouchy hat wearer, Teddy Brockman.
And Melissa Pierce, documentarian and natural redhead.
Ta-da. What are we talking about today? I had the flu and you went to a fashion show.
Right.
Dying to hear.
Right. I'm so sorry. That flu is really going around in Chicago badly. And I guess you were one of the victims.
Boy, howdy. I'm so lucky. So you got to go to Scotty Esklund's fashion show.
Yeah. I went to Scotty's fashion show, which was at the Stan Mansion, located in Logan Square, which is part of the Chicagoland area. It was a beautiful venue, beautifully lit with candles going up and down the aisle where the models walk. The whole thing was just very elegant. Flutes of champagne when you walked in the door. Oh. And Scotty just did a beautiful job. They would recite as each of the first, they did like a monologue about asking the question, what is love? So they were inviting us to explore the concept of exactly what is love. So Scotty went on to talk about different kinds of love and said it in a way that was really very poetic. It seemed very poetic to me.
And did the different kinds of love, when they explained it, did it match up with what the models were wearing? I'm so interested.
Yes. Well, you know, Scotty has a very avant-garde look. So I guess you could interpret the looks pretty much any way you wanted to.
I saw some of the pictures. Scotty's nipples were out. They were wearing like a corset.
Yeah. They had like a bustier on.
Like just so out there.
Yeah.
But not out there, but so out there.
Yeah. Scotty looked wonderful. The models looked wonderful. And they were reciting, as each model came down, they were reciting different feelings that you might have in a, let's say, a relationship where the person is too clingy, or a relationship where the person is kind of domineering, or a relationship where there's a softness and, you know, reciprocity. So looking at the different types of love, it was very lovely. It was a very lovely experience.
I like the idea of going to a fashion show that is hosted by genderqueer therapist on the subject of what is love and all of the different ways that love expresses itself.
Right.
Given that they have kind of this inside track of this like very complex world anyway.
Right. And without judgment, you know, basically just saying, here's this kind, here's that kind, you know, describing the different kinds of love.
Okay.
And you make your own judgment as far as, you know, what you believe to be healthy or unhealthy or that kind of thing.
So interesting.
But it was very lovely. And then at the end, they announced their new fragrance. And I'm proud to say I bought their first bottle. I bought Scotty's first bottle of them.
Wait, did Scotty sign it? Is this Scotty's signature?
Yes.
That's their signature?
Yes, Scotty signed the bottle for me.
Oh, gosh. We have to show the audience the label.
Well, I will if you give me a chance.
I'm like trying
Miss
to. Miss
Hands.
I'm so excited about it.
And here it is. Let's see. Let's get it right in there. It's called Them. And the fragrance is really lovely. It's got kind of a gardenia top note. And I would say that the dry down is kind of an oaky moss smell. So it's not, and I'm not a big floral person. I tend to, and you know, when we've had several guests come here, I tend to gravitate towards the more unisex or even masculine kinds of scents. I like the heavier, oriental, more musky, oaky smells.
Mm-hmm.
So when Scotty first told me it's a floral, I kind of went, ooh. And then they described it to me and it sounded okay. It didn't sound overly like this big bouquet of, you know, like roses or something hitting your nose.
Mm.
And it really is quite lovely. So we'll put a link down in the podcast If you want to find out from Scotty if he has any more available, I don't know how many he had made at this particular point.
And it's spelled them, me, which you pointed out to me.
Them. Yeah, it's pronounced them. But if you look at it, if you look at it, it's them, me.
Oh, that's so, I'll do a cut because it's just going to focus on our faces. Yeah. That's what Zoom does.
Yeah.
That's so great. Now explain to me what a dry down is, because I love the smell of perfume, but I'm illiterate.
Well, perfume has three, steps to it, three steps to the scent. The first is the top notes. Those are the scents that hit you right away. So, if it's floral, you'll usually get the flowers and everything right up front. The middle note is as it's starting to dry. It may be notes of oak or amber or whatever. And then the dry down is when this is completely dry. The finale, it's kind of the finale of the scent. It's what the scent really smells like once it's, that's why they tell you when you go to a department store, they tell you walk around with it. Don't take it at the first squirt, because that's always the most powerful smell.
So it's like the amuse bouche, and then you're getting like different courses.
Yeah.
And then it's like what the it's real.
Like, you're drinking wine. You know how these wine connoisseurs, and they'll tell you, and they're drinking the wine, and they're, I'm tasting apple, and now I'm tasting moss, and now I'm tasting a woody note. You know, as the wine settles into your palate, you get all the different flavors that are combined.
Thought those people were getting creative.
Yeah. And it's the same thing with perfume. And that's why when you go to a department store, they'll tell you, walk around with it. Don't just take it by the first squirt, because the first squirt is always the most powerful smell. But that's not the way the perfume is going to stay on you. The perfume is going to stay on you after it's dried down, after about 5 minutes or so, and that'll be the final scent.
All right.
So the dry down is really the most important part of the scent.
Okay. It's synonymous with people, you know, first impressions are lasting, but then you get to know them. And
right.
I'm like, oh, what's the time correlation? You need 6 months to get to know a person. You need
six minutes to get to know a perfume.
Yeah. Very nice. But then you did something else this weekend that was super close to where I lived. You were a fashion model up in Evanston.
Yeah, that wasn't this week. That was, that was the week before.
I was already ill.
No, you weren't. Uh-oh. It was the week before. It was last week, because I posted the pictures last week.
The pictures were phenomenal.
Yeah. I went to a designer, invited me. Her name is Lean. And she's actually from Dubai, beautiful woman. And she owns a shop in downtown Evanston. It's a cute little boutique called Kivanci, K-I-V-A-N-C-I. And I modeled several of her outfits, from just, you know, regular daytime wear to evening wear. We just had a lot of fun. We spent like 2-3 hours in the boutique, and we took reels. And I tried on all kinds of beautiful outfits. She has some really beautiful, beautiful designs.
Oh, it sounds like so
and
fun.
Before I left, she gave me this lovely wrap, which I'll have Ken take a picture of me in it. And then maybe you could drop it down in the video so people can take a look at it. Because what's really unique about it is it wraps around you, but it's got a sleeve. Right. So, you know, it stays on you. And then I have it wrapped like she styled it on me. Of course, I was wearing this short dress. So I had on, it was a very sexy look, because I had the wrap on, and then I had black sheer hose on, and a little, strapless little black dress on underneath the wrap. So it was very kind of sexy looking. Today, I'm wearing it with a leggings look.
I feel like I need to remind everyone that Teddy is 71 and she's wearing things that me at 48 wouldn't dare, because it's just like too revealing.
It was fun. It was a lot of fun. So I want to let you all know that we will also put the name of Lean's boutique down below too, in case you're interested. She's on Instagram. Lele Couture, L-E-L-E Couture. You can find her. And then she has, Kivanci, I think it's _ official. It might be her
Her Instagram.
Her Instagram, but I'm not exactly sure. We'll put the correct down below if you're interested in looking into Lee's design.
The boutique is in
Evanston, downtown Evanston.
Right.
So beautiful. In fact, I'm going to a friend of mine, Maxie Black, who's a beautiful model, but also owns a production company, has invited me to her fashion show. I think it's the 21st. I'm not exactly sure of the date. It's a Friday. And it's called The Cinema.
Oh, that's right.
That's the name of the show.
Oh, no, the 21st is, I was like, every Friday in February is a 7. Okay, sorry.
Oh, okay.
7th, the 14th, the 21st.
Okay, I'm right then. It is the 21st.
You are right.
And Maxie invited me to the show, and the theme is kind of 1950s cinema glam, which is right up my alley.
Oh, that's, I can't wait. I can't wait to see what you're wearing.
That's going
to
be fabulous.
I can't wait to talk about
I asked Lean, because she had this beautiful black dress I saw her wearing on her Instagram page. It's kind of an off-the-shoulder scalloped, around the neckline, and then it's cinched in, and then the waist, the skirt comes kind of poofed out. So very 1950s. And Lean actually told me she started out making hats. So she was actually a milliner first. So she's got quite a few hats in her boutique as well, too. And there's this really cute little black hat that I want to borrow from her, too, to wear with that dress. So I'm hoping to wear that to Maxie's fashion show.
Now that I'm feeling better, I need to go visit both of these things.
Yeah.
Because they're really close to me because I live on the north side of Chicago.
Yeah. So it was fun. So I've had a good time the last few weeks. A lot of fashion stuff popping up. February is going to be very busy. Not only do I have Maxie's fashion show, but there is the Blue Jacket brunch for FGI they're giving, and that supports Zero Prostate Cancer. So that's kind of a fundraiser for that as well, too. Then, of course, Maxie's fashion show. Then I have Arabelle. Arabelle, a friend of mine, also has a podcast called Chic Innovator. And I was a guest on her podcast. My episode hasn't come up yet. But Arabelle is giving a lovely kind of soiree for all her podcast guests
and then some
other friends of hers so that they can kind of get to meet us and talk to all the people that have been on her podcast. And that's in the end of February. So I have and then there's also a Curio shopping event, and I'm meeting a new friend, Ashley Abbott, and he's bringing his fiance with him, and we're going to meet at the shopping event.
She also have an alliterative name. Please tell me.
Ashley is a male.
I meant his partner.
Yeah.
Does his partner also have an alliterative name? I need like Ashley Abbott. And,
you know, he does. And I can't remember his first.
Benjamin Button. I don't know.
Oscar Ocasio.
Fantastic. If there's an Oscar Ocasio we're sorry.
No, I can't remember Ashley's fiance's name, but I'll be happy to meet him. We're going out for drinks after the shopping event.
Oh, good heavens.
So yeah, it's going to be Fashion February, I'm calling it.
Nice.
And then on top of that, it's also my grandson's birthday on Friday. My Alexander will be 14 years old this Friday.
It's my half birthday today.
Your what?
My half birthday.
What's a half birthday?
The half birthday is the halfway point between your real birthday.
Oh, for Christ's sake, I know.
And your birthday.
Get out of
here. We didn't celebrate my last birthday for various reasons. Uh-huh. I was like, oh, today's my half birthday. Uh-huh. We better like bring it.
Yeah.
Of course, we're not. I'm just doing the podcast with you. It's just like a celebration.
That is a celebration.
But, after this, I'm going to go buy myself a cupcake and eat it in the car on the drive home.
You've been trying to celebrate this birthday for 6 months.
Yes, exactly. Exactly.
Oh my God.
No, actually, Michael and I are taking a long vacation. We're not going out tonight.
Oh, okay.
Because I still don't feel, great. I'm still pretty tired.
Yeah.
Otherwise, like all others, I'm just tired.
Yeah.
But we are going next weekend. We are taking all of Valentine's Day weekend to celebrate my birthday.
Okay.
And we're going to Colorado. We're going to go skiing. Well, he's going to downhill ski and I'm going to cross country ski because that's.
Oh, so like you do the walk ski.
I do the walks. I do the safe ski. He does the scary ski and that's okay. And we're going to go see a bunch of art and go to Meow Wolf.
Where in Colorado are you going skiing?
Oh gosh, it starts with an E. I don't remember.
Starts with an E and sounds like.
It sounds like. I actually don't remember. Okay. But it is closer to Boulder. It's one we haven't been to yet.
Okay.
So we try to like jump around.
Well, that sounds kind of
right.
fun.
Right. Last time we did this, we went to Austria, but we're not that. We're not
going to go
right
to Austria for your birthday.
Austria for my birthday.
Yeah.
But it should be fun. Well, so we're doing the half birthday makeup.
Yeah.
Right over Valentine's Day.
Well, that's a pretty damn good birthday. For my birthday, I go to Hampton Social and I have a lobster roll. That's my birthday. A little going on a big trip. Honey, the older you get, the less birthdays mean to you. Honestly, it's the truth.
Right.
Really, I don't get that all excited about my birthday. And it's not because, oh, I dread being a year older. I celebrate being a year older, especially when you get to my age. Every year is important. I've never been a big birthday celebrator.
Well, I was never a big birthday celebrator either until Michael and I got together and birthdays were very important to him. And I was you can do this for your own birthday.
Oh,
I'd like it never occurred to me that I could celebrate myself that much. So now they're a big deal. So I'm making up for, 40 years of no, like birthdays not being a big deal.
Yeah.
So I'm going the opposite direction.
Yeah.
So it's at 71. What am I going to be like? We'll probably go skydiving. I don't know.
So please. These people that jump out of the airplanes and they're like a million years old. It's like, please don't let your bones break. Please, please. Like, didn't his G.H. Bush, he jumped out of an airplane like when he turned 90.
Oh, my gosh.
And I thought, what the hell? Can't you think of a better way to celebrate being alive at 90 than trying to kill yourself?
He's like, I'm close to dead anyway.
It's like a suicidal mission of some kind.
What they didn't tell you was that Pete is
really come on. I would pee my pants. I crap.
Like, no, I jumped out with a diaper anyway. I'm 90.
Yeah, I would be like, I'm stopping you right there. I do not appreciate the diaper jokes. Here are two jokes I cannot stand when you get older. I'm gonna change your diapers. 90% of older people are not incontinent. Number two, I'm going to come and visit you at the nursing home. 2% of the elderly end up in nursing homes. We are not incontinent people sitting in nursing homes. So knock it off. I don't like it.
Wait, is it? It's only 2% in nursing
homes? Only 2%.
Wait, but 10% in
nursing homes. Well, most of them are dead. They don't make it to the nursing home.
Well, there was a whole thing.
Well, think about it. If you look at the average lifespan, right? Which right now, I think it varies anytime you look at it.
Yeah.
It's anywhere for women between 80 and 85 is considered like an average. Right now, that's kind of the average lifespan.
Worldwide or U.S., do you know?
That's the U.S.
Okay.
And the U.S. actually, believe it or not, as we complain about, the cost of our healthcare, we're the only ones without national healthcare. We are still one of the countries with the highest lifespan. We still are. I looked that up the other day, so I know this for a fact on the internet.
The internet never lies.
No, and I looked it up in it was actually from the government, a Health and Human Services statistic,
which means what now that Trump's like revamping everything?
RFK wasn't in charge of that yet.
Okay, let's go. All right,
but anyway, if you think about it, if 80 is the average lifespan, that means 50% of the people probably drop dead before the age of 80. So it means, if you're taking, it's the median age or the median lifespan, the average lifespan. Basically, what you're saying is if your lifespan, average lifespan is about 80, about 50% of the people won't make it to 80 and the other 50% will make it beyond 80.
Yeah. Okay.
So when you think of it that way, it doesn't mean everybody's going to live to 80. That's why I say, be happy whatever age you are, because you just never know what's going to hit you.
Okay, well, listen, if I jump out of an airplane, regardless of the age,
then the ground will hit you.
I am likely going to be wearing a diaper anyway.
A diaper.
Because that's
the diaper,
so
the famous
scary.
Diaper. All old people are incontinent,
right.
Peeing and pooping on themselves.
No, anyone jumping out of an airplane is probably peeing themselves.
Well, I would probably pee myself jumping out of an
airplane. All
right,
but no diaper jokes.
No diaper jokes. I don't know. Do not appreciate the diaper jokes visiting me in the nursing home.
But I love knowing this statistic of it, like only 2%.
Only 2% of older people.
And there are also like whole retirement communities because people are like, we don't want to burden our children. We want to have independent lives.
Right. Now that's something completely different.
Yeah. I have aunts and uncles in retirement communities that are like the most socially active people I have ever met.
Right.
Like you guys are going out more than 20-year-olds.
A lot of them, what do they say? It, not only in nursing homes, but in senior communities, they have a very high rate of venereal disease.
They're just going for it. Yeah.
They're hopping. Those men are hopping on those women's bones like jackrabbits over there.
I'm sure.
Because,
the opposite,
you know, for every man, there's like 50 women, you know, because we outlive men.
Those men must be so tired.
Yeah, they're tired, but they're happy.
Yeah, good. Good. Would that we were all happily tired. All of the time.
Yes. Instead of being sick and tired, right?
Right.
Right. Right.
You just like dopamined up. How did we get so far?
Did
we talk about like leggings because you're wearing?
No, we're not talking about leggings.
What are we talking about?
We're going to talk about leggings in the next episode.
Oh.
This episode, we want to wrap up because we told all of you that we were going to wrap up that thought because you probably were wondering, where are they going with this? When we were blaming Jerry Springer.
We were blaming Jerry Springer.
We blamed Jerry Springer.
Fashion.
Out recently, Jerry Springer, I think, died this year. Not this year, 2025. I think he died in 2024.
Before or after 80, like he reached that 85 one.
I think he was 79. I'm not
sure. Oh, well, he's
I'm not sure.
The bell
but Jerry's dead. And
well, we can
I shouldn't laugh. Anyway, let's continue with the thought about Jerry Springer. The whole point and just the summation for those of you who haven't watched, he died at 79.
Yeah.
For those of you who didn't watch our previous Buddy episode, which was the beginning of our second season, Melissa and I discussed how, quote unquote, reality TV has shaped the way we think about each other, the way we act towards each other, and ultimately even the way we dress.
And the way we think about ourselves.
The way we even think about ourselves. And we brought up Jerry Springer because he was kind of, you know, play on words, Springer the springboard, was kind of the springboard for reality TV. And like I said, when I was watching that documentary, they even brought up like Real Housewives and, you know, all those kind of quote-unquote reality show.
Yeah, and in season one, we talked about how Kim Kardashian, remember the Kardashians, because she had all of these like surgeries to change her body shape, could only wear leggings, etc., because nothing fit her body.
Yeah, well, now she's got custom designers who fit everything to her body.
But for a long time, leggings were the thing, and so that became the in thing because this reality TV star was wearing them all the
time. Well, right, and think about it. When you watched Jerry Springer, they, you know, typically at that time, and you figure you're talking Jerry Springer was more towards the mid to late 90s. He started. He was actually on TV for 17 years, believe
it or
not.
That's a long time. That's a whole childhood.
Right. Yeah. And when you think about it, in those days, like if you went on Oprah or you went on Phil Donahue or any of those talk shows, even the guests, you know, your everyday citizen kind of a guest, got a little dressed up, you know, were a little spiffed up. After all, I'm going to be on TV, right?
Right.
But on Jerry Springer, they actually encouraged them to just look natural. Look how you dress every single day. If you wear a ripped t-shirt, come on with a ripped t-shirt. If you're wearing a mini skirt up to your you-know-what, wear the mini skirt up to your you-know-what.
What was that? Was that to feel comfortable or to feel uncomfortable or be relatable to whoever
was
That's
what
audience?
I think it was. I think Jerry wanted his audience to his guests to reflect his audience. Because if you look at his audience members, they often looked like they were in the same age group, the same almost socioeconomic category as the people that were up on the stage.
Kind of self-perpetuating though. Also though, if you're not dressed as your best self, you're not going to project.
He doesn't want the best self. That's what made the show.
So that's what made the show, but then we're reflecting that. You're saying we're reflecting that back in society.
Well, right. And so then you grow up. Let's say here's the categories. I think Jerry Springer really pandered to high school educated or below population. Not to say that college kids didn't watch Jerry Springer, because I know for a fact they did. But
it was a certain education.
It was a certain education.
So like Trump.
Yeah.
Very much like Trump.
Well, yeah. Trump pretended like he went to college. But anyway.
I mean, that's who he's pandering to.
Yeah. But he was pandering to kind of a working class group of people who the people on stage reflected the way they dressed, maybe not completely the way they acted, but maybe the way they felt like acting. So he engaged the audience by having not only his guests reflect the audience, but the audience reflect the type of guests that he had.
Got it.
So when you think about it, that was the start of, I don't need to get dressed up. Even to be on TV, I don't need to be dressed up. Okay. I could wear my Mickey Mouse t-shirt. I could have, you know, a bazillion tattoos showing, I can have my skirt up to my, I could rip my top off if I want. So it was kind of the, just let it all hang out, do whatever you want. There was no formality to it. You know, where most talk shows, they'd introduce the guests and they'd come and they'd sit down very politely and that kind of, Jerry's show was not like that. Mm. It was, you know, the surprise attack. He'd have the guests sitting there and then he'd say, and here's your real father, or, you know, here's your step cousin that you had a child with. You know, we talked about all the weird topics that they had. But that was kind of the springboard, I think, for giving everyone permission to just kind of be their everyday self instead of being dressed up for TV. You know, you think of going on TV, you want to look like your best self. These people didn't. They just went looking any old way. They looked like they were going to, you know, go clean out their garage after the show. You know?
Right. And so the idea of reality TV was not the reality of being on television and presenting yourself to the world. It was like, here is the reality of we're going to clean out our garage in the trailer park or whatever.
Yes.
Like,
this is the reality of how I really look.
The reality of how I really look and how I really behave, but in these like heightened
ways. Right.
You know what made me think of? When I was making my documentary about how social media was bringing us all together, there was another woman who turned out to be like way more right than I was, right? Andi Timona Timor, she made this documentary called We Live in Public, which I recommend seeing it. I actually hated watching it because it's just like this like optimistic spiral towards the worst parts of humanity. Right. And it talks about this shift towards like just this like awful exploitation, which is what happened with Jerry Springer and what we kind of feel
and continues to happen on the reality shows.
Yeah.
So basically, if you follow the progression, then like we talked about the Kardashians, the Kardashians were relatable in a way that I think the housewives are not relatable. And let me tell you why. Even though Kim Kardashian and her family were considered in the wealthy group, at the time, Kris Jenner and Bruce Jenner were having financial difficulties. And Kris Jenner was Bruce Jenner's manager. Bruce would go out and do motivational speaking, but they were up to their tassels in debt. Kris Jenner, whatever you want to say about her, exploiting her daughter's sex video with Ray J and all that kind of stuff.
I have a lot to say about, I'm not going to, but holy shit.
That was a lot. Yeah. But the bottom line is, Kris Jenner, when you think about it, invented the influencer. Her family became the first really what we now call influencers because everything they touched, because they were relatable as a family, the way they showed them was, you know, just like any other brother or sister, they would fight and then they'd make up and they'd support each other. And then they'd, you know, go partying or they'd, you know, just talk or they'd fight. But they looked like a regular family only living like in this bigger house, right? So they became kind of relatable but aspirational. So everything the Kardashians started to touch, Kris Kardashian started making deals with companies to have her girls show things on Twitter. Remember Twitter? the old Twitter.
I do. That's how I became a micro celebrity on Twitter. That's how I did all of Life in Perpetual Beta.
Okay. Yeah. So that's how they got famous.
They got famous, whatever.
This is our product. And they'd be selling a bazillion things.
So we interviewed Diana Gilman, and she did this. And then they just brought this kind of to the internet in this new interesting way.
Right. Because the home shopping and QVC existed beforehand, and that was retail shopping before we really had, now it's big time internet shopping. Yeah. But Kris Kardashian really knew how to utilize social media. Right. And that's how she really turned her entire family into millionaires and billionaires, because of product placement. And she knew the importance of product placement. So the Kardashians in the reality show became very, very influential on how a lot of women even wore their makeup. What they used to have, those big, thick, long eyelashes, the big, long nails. Yeah. Khloe would wear the big, long nails, the very body con outfits, like you were talking about. Yeah. Kim would wear, unitards and things like that. So that became very influential in the way many younger people dress. Now, don't forget, when you get to be more in the middle age category, you're probably not going to be as, as easily influenced as, let's say, maybe a 15 to 25 year old girl is going to be.
I will say, in my late 30s, I was doing a lot of, touring and speaking to younger audiences, like how to program computers, how did I build all these companies, or how did I build these organizations? Yeah. And I wore leggings all of the time, but they were always patterned with cool things, with longer things. So I was part of that, leggings are cool. And leggings are so easy for a middle-aged body.
Yeah.
Right?
Well, and that's why I think leggings are still popular now, because they're comfortable. The problem with leggings initially, when they first came out, is they were so thin.
Oh, and that was a whole scandal with Lululemon, right? Their leggings were
$100 for see-through leggings.
Yeah,
but there were, even regular, cheap $20 leggings weren't that. I mean, they didn't hold you in. They didn't give your legs or your butt any kind of shape.
They weren't meant to be real outerwear.
Right. They were meant to when leggings first came out in the 80s, actually, it was just exercise wear.
Right. You just wore them with your leotard and your belt and your leg
and your headband and your leg warmers and all that kind of stuff.
My mom taught aerobics. We had some great, shiny, bright,
hot
pink and a blue belt with these cool black leggings.
Right.
And these awesome pink. I remember, I should call her up and be like, Mom, I remember your aerobics teaching outfit when you taught.
And she's going to say, so
military moms. And she'll be like, I forgot I did that at all. She was the bomb, okay?
Yeah.
She was the bomb.com before the bomb.com was
there.
You go. Because that was 88, 89?
In the 80s, yeah. Well, don't forget, it was Olivia Newton-John, Let's Get Physical. Oh, yeah. Let's get physical. And you'd exercise there. There was Jane Fonda's. We found out later, and Jane actually fessed up and told us all this, that no, I didn't stay that thin because I was exercising all the time. I stayed that thin because I was bulimic.
Oh gosh, I thought you were going to say methamphetamines, but okay. No,
it was bulimia. She did. I shouldn't laugh, but she did. She suffered from, she had a horrible time all her life. Her father actually body shamed her early on.
Well, isn't that how a lot of bulimia and
and really would mention, if she gained a couple of pounds, he'd notice it right away and tell her, a woman is never attractive if she's overweight. So Jane grew up with that kind of shame, body shaming. And she did suffer for many, many years with bulimia. And even though she was, trying to stay healthy, doing the workouts, and she had the workout videos that were hugely successful. I remember I had the VHS version, but she finally did say that one of the ways that she stayed as thin as she did, it wasn't just, jumping around doing the aerobics. It was, she was throwing up.
I'm sure it was all of it. I mean, I don't want to discount jumping around doing aerobics either, because that's a lot of, it was a lot of work.
Yeah, it was a lot
of work. It's still a lot of work. I try to go to exercise classes at my gym, and I'm like, no thanks.
Let me tell you, if you want to set yourself up for failure, sign up for a gym. They found that most people sign up for a gym, and if like an entire year, and if they go for 3 weeks out of the entire year, that's saying a lot. Most people do not even use their gym membership. So if you want to throw money in the garbage, wipe your ass with it, just join a gym. Join a gym.
I'm like, shoot, have I even gone 3 weeks? I pay my gym membership every month. But it's also the way that I watch whatever guilty pleasure I am watching. I just like watch an hour-long show on the elliptical.
Yeah.
Although once I did play those Timu games for an entire hour, it was terrifying on the elliptical.
So I just have a bike in my little wardrobe room and I turn on the TV and I just force myself. Usually I'm watching some kind of a show that'll hold my interest somewhat because it's hard for me to hold my interest in most TV shows, but I'll try to have it hold my interest for about an hour. I'll say to myself, if you do a half an hour, that's fine. If you could do the whole hour, that's even better. And so it just depends on what my energy level is.
Right. Well, what are you watching these days?
The reality show Southern Charm.
Oh, right. I love that you're into reality shows. I just can't watch
the reality show Southern Charm. Well, you know why I like Southern Charm?
Why?
Because they're not as mean to each other. They are Southern, you know. And the Southerners tend to be a little bit more polite.
But you just don't understand what's mean yet. No?
What do you mean I don't understand what's
mean? Because I find Southern women to be extremely mean.
Oh, I don't know.
I
can't say that I've ever personally known a lot of women from the South. But I have to say, when I went to the South, you know, we went through Kentucky and Tennessee. People were just lovely and wonderful.
Oh, they are lovely and wonderful. Yeah. But as soon as you understand the cultural, you're just like, oh, shit, that was
like everybody else. I mean, we have bitches up north, too.
Oh, yeah, we do. I grew up in the military. Yeah. So there is like a disproportionate representation of people from the South in the Army specifically.
Yeah.
Because that's just where we all
are. Yeah.
Yeah. But I was like,
well, a lot of military bases are in the South.
And a lot of military bases are in the South. Yeah.
Yeah.
So. Southern.
So why watch Southern Charm and I'll exercise to that. But to circle back around about how the reality TV, for example, okay, I watch Southern Charm. Now in Southern Charm, in the South, they love to dress.
Yes.
And the reason I like to watch this show is the men really take the time to look nice, whether it's a casual look or they all, like, if they go to, like, a special event, the men are always wearing these really sharp linen suits, sometimes plaid jackets. They always have the pocket squares, really nicely tailored
in
pants.
In the show. Yes.
In the show. And these are younger men, but you know, in their 30s to early 40s.
It is a different culture, isn't
it?
It's kind of like you get dressed up for.
Yes, everything they get dressed up for.
Do you remember this J.D. Salinger? I'm sorry. I'm like, I'm full of swirls today.
Yeah, you are.
Yeah.
And we're never going to end the show because you're swirling all
the time. Well, the J.D. Salinger book, Franny and Zoe. I don't know if you read it. It's kind of like Gen X time. Okay. Franny and Zoe. There was a part in Franny and Zoe about these children that they all did a radio show.
Uh-huh.
And they would get dressed up to go do this radio show. And the smaller kids were like, why are we getting dressed up? No one's going to see it.
Yeah.
And then they talked about this woman in the South on her porch, listening to her radio and how she's imagining what they look like.
Uh-huh.
And she's like, you have to shine your shoes for the fat lady on the porch.
Uh-huh.
Like that was their thing was shine your shoes for the fat lady. They're like imagining this woman in the South on her porch, listening to the radio, just imagining them.
Uh-huh.
And it was like a show, again, a show of respect.
Okay.
And I do think there is a more of a culture of respect and respectability in these, like,
but it's socioeconomic because if you go in the South and you're looking at your average working class person, they're not dressed like they are on Southern Charm. On Southern Charm, again, these are aspirational people who are come from wealth. There's one character on there, Shep, who's been on there for probably about 10 years. The man's never worked. The whole time he's on the show, he comes from family money, you know. So these are
people. That's what I aspire to do, from family money.
Yeah, they all have, you know, some kind of personal wealth. So this is a whole different category of people. But what I'm saying is, they dress very nicely. Where the housewives, which I do guiltily watch New York, like I told you, in Beverly Hills, These are also very, very wealthy people, but they almost dress over the top. You know, you're not going to see anybody walking around the city of Chicago dressed like the housewives of Beverly Hills or even New York, because these are women where, let's say I'm having a house party, right? And I invite you and Michael to come on over and we're going to have dinner or whatever. You're not going to come to my house wearing 4-inch stilettos and a poofy dress and your big eyelashes. You're going to have your glam squad come on and put on all your makeup and do your hair and hair pieces. And all. I mean, these women look like they are going to walk the red carpet and they're just going to each other's homes. That's how ridiculous it is. Okay. So their dressing on those shows tends to be over the top. So when women watch it, my guess is they're not aspiring to look like these women, like they did for the Kardashians, like the younger women would aspire to look like the Kardashians. I don't think most of the women that watch The Housewives are aspiring to look like The Housewives. There may be some, but very few. I think most of it is for women, a guilty pleasure watching these rich women who have, for the most part, kind of miserable lives. So it's like you're saying to yourself, well, look at with all their money and they're still not happy. It's kind of almost like a Misery Loves Company kind of show.
Oh,
where Southern Charm, I have to say that even though, again, they tend to be wealthier people, they tend to dress with very good taste. I mean, they wear clothes that you would actually wear to somebody's home if you were just trying to get dressed a little bit to go to your friend's home, or if you were going to like the Kentucky Derby or something like that, you know, those kinds of events, or if they have like a soiree. They're not really dressed like over the top. They're dressed more tastefully, I would say, but they're dressed well.
Oh, well, I'm gonna have to watch it now.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't stereotypically watch reality television. Yeah. I don't enjoy it for the most part.
Yeah.
But I am gonna have to watch
it. It actually has some very good, engaging characters. And they're not, although there is, of course, it wouldn't be quote unquote reality TV if there wasn't some backbiting and that kind of thing.
Sure.
But it's done in a very polite way. I don't know how else to describe it. It's nastiness that's very polite. You know how they say in the South, well, bless your heart. And what they mean is really fuck you. You know?
Right. It's nice, but not
bless your
nice,
heart.
But not kind.
Right. So there, I mean, there is some of that, but I have to say for the most part, it is a more civil show to watch than some of these others where they're grabbing each other's hair or they're, I mean, throwing glasses of wine in each other's faces or flipping tables. I mean, you don't see that
Which is all Jerry Springer derivative.
Yes, that's all derivative of Jerry Springer.
All right. So you're saying they're trying to bring back some sort of like nice but not kind.
Genteel. They're the genteel group of the Andy Cohen franchises. That man's making a fortune living off of other people's misfortunes.
And that's all the time we have for today for this very, very important topic.
What are we talking about?
Jerry Springer ruined fashion. And we're pinning it square.
And you know what? He's dead, so he doesn't know. So
right.
He can say whatever we want about Jerry.
Jerry Springer's ghost is going to come
haunt
him.
His feelings aren't hurt.
Right. He's probably really excited about it, actually. He's like, spinning. I'm still relevant.
He is still relevant. Jerry's still relevant.
Well, listen, I have one more question for you.
What?
Why don't we dress for dinner anymore, Teddy?
I don't know, Melissa. Why don't we?
I don't know.